seated, please. We are here this morning to remember and to celebrate the life of our dear friend, Wellesley. We have come into the house of the Lord to open our hearts in the safety that only He can provide. He provides this safety through His Word and through the people we love. Let's take a moment and look around. We see children, siblings, mothers and fathers and friends. We kneel before the Lord's opened Word, asking the Lord to heal our hearts. We have raised our voices in song. Aren't these all the things that Wellesley loves? Isn't this a Wellesley kind of place? And look out the window, just over there. We see fields and trees. There's a stream down the way. And aren't there some crocuses just coming up? We can picture her exclaiming, "Oh, look, and look there." Gardens, yes, gardens. This really is a Wellesley kind of place. When we think of her, we might think of a place like this. And when we think of this, we think of her also. It's easy to even imagine her here. It's easy to imagine her in heaven. So let's blend these worlds for a moment here, right now. Imagine we have our natural and our spiritual eyes opened. And if she were standing in the church hall with us, what would she say? Well, given her shyness, she might want to meet off to the side in a small, intimate conversation. To her grandchildren running up to her, she might say, "Hi, and tell me how you're doing. What are you learning in school today? How was that eighth grade play? I can't wait for you to come over to my house for a sleepover and play some really cool games we have here. I have an awesome train set for you and a fire truck for you, and I've got a new ping pong table. In my garden, I have the biggest cucumbers and hundreds of cherry tomatoes." In another conversation, meeting with some former music student, she might tell you about the beautiful sounds made by heavenly instruments and what fun it is to play music in heaven. She might show you the new organ she has to play in church. Any massage clients here? I can see her quietly confiding with you, "The massages in heaven are even better." And angels' hands don't just work out knotted muscles. They are instruments that communicate affection. They can work out the kinks in your life. By means of them, the Lord can touch and heal your troubled hearts. And don't we need a heavenly massage right now? With her sisters, Wellesley will want to catch up on all the family news in both worlds. "And you should see our mom. How well she looks, and how much fun it is to get to know her again." And to her darling husband, "Ian, my best friend of 40 years, honey, we've only started. We've got so much more time ahead, an eternity together. And let me tell you about the home I'm working on. I was thinking that it should look like, you know, our favorite picture in the cottage architecture book, with the wood and the stone down by the lake. I can't wait to show it to you. But no rush. No rush. You have some important Dee-Daw love to give to our grandchildren before then. But when you do come, I'm going to have a surprise for you. I will look even more beautiful than when we first met. And won't you be something with a full head of hair?" These conversations and many, many more of like nature are going on without our perception. We'll continue to go on. Today is just the beginning of this heavenly story, the chapter on Wellesley's awakening into heaven. And we are still a part of that story. The earthly chapter began in Brynathyn when she was born on March the 20th, 1954, to Jack Rose and Sally Pendleton Rose. She was the oldest, followed 2 years later by Andrea, and 6 years after that by Natalie, and in another 2 years by Sylvia. They lived in Bernathen until Wellesley was two, moving to Ben Hur Street in Pittsburgh. And a few years later, she attended the New Church School there. Being the eldest, she occasionally found herself acting the part of a mother figure towards some supposedly errant sisters. Childhood, though not always fun, holds some very special memories. Wellesley remembers her father stamping down the snow in the backyard and then flooding it to form an ice rink. The girls were some of the best skaters in the neighborhood, putting on shows where they performed twirls and graceful swan-like movements. Their fame spread, earning them a visit from the local TV station. Wellesley was the featured performer. Wiffle ball was also big with the girls, and neighborhood ball games a favorite summertime activity. And of course, their above-ground pool, a great place to cool off in the hot Pittsburgh summer. It was during this period that she began one of her lifelong careers. Coming home one day from school as a seventh grader, she told her dad in no uncertain terms, "I have to learn to play the piano because the worship accompanist is leaving and there's no one else to do it." Over the years, Wellesley polished her talents on piano and organ and also guitar. Naturally, she was quite humble about her accomplishments. At the age of 16, she came to Bernathen to attend the Academy of the New Church Girls' School for junior and senior years of high school. There she found many friends, not the least of which was her cousins Tom Rose and Robert Rose, who delighted in showing her around Bernathen. After a year of Bernathen College, she and a friend, Kay Reuter, traveled to Australia and New Zealand on a grant to lend their help to the church efforts there under the pastoral care of the Reverend Doug Taylor. She made many lifelong friends, had fun, even participated in a little mischief, short sheeting some beds, sewing some boys' pants pockets shut with their wallets inside while they slept. It was there that she caught the eye of this long-haired, wavy-haired fellow named Ian Keel. This was a man to match her love of life, her tenderness, and her commitment to the Lord. She stayed on an additional several months while they fell deeper in love. Then back in Bernathen, she moved into her grandparents' home, dubbed Rittenhouse, rooming with several young women who became fast friends. Group Soup was a favorite weekly get-together of college-age young people for spiritual and natural nourishment. Ian also came to the States, allegedly to attend the Bernathen College, but I suspect that Wellesley was the main attraction. Wellesley and Ian's love grew ever deeper. They married June the 12th, 1976. The Keels have three children, Solomon, Roxanne, and Tamar. So much happiness was found in their home. Ian and Wellesley both took the best from their own families and added to it all the good things that they would have wished for. Oh, the memories. Kids waking up on Saturday morning to the smell of baked goods wafting up from the kitchen, coffee parties, potlucks where friends and neighbors were invited in, Legos, music lessons, sewing, rock collecting, jewelry making, card games. Her gardens were legendary. Vacations taken at Lake Wallenpaupack or to the Chesapeake Bay. Wellesley loved the water, to dip her feet in, swim with freedom of movement, watch the sun sparkle. She was mesmerized by it. Rocks, sunsets, water, and Ian. There were a few characteristics that were uniquely Wellesley. Imagine her waking up in the middle of the night, kind of bleary-eyed, looking in the crib, I've lost Solomon. Where's Solomon? Ian, where's Solomon? And he's sitting right on her hip. Or picture her sitting relaxed on a deck chair on a dock in the middle of the lake, deep in conversation with someone, and suddenly a child plops in the water. Mid-sentence, Wellesley jumps in the water, puts the child on the dock, sits back down, and finishes her sentence. There's a whole book of funny and nonsensical things that Wellesley would say. Sadly, however, a few years ago, tragedy struck. She was found to have incurable colon cancer, a bitter pill for such a loving and giving person to swallow. But true to her nature, it did not slow her down initially. She did not slacken her uses until she was just too weak. She went on trips and vacations just so she could share the joy of life with her husband and family. They downsized their home to an apartment at Roxanne and Peter's, allowing Tamar and Dandridge to have their house. Knowing that she would someday be absent, she needed to know that Ian would have a cozy nest and that they would all be okay. Ian and Wellesley had many quiet talks together, savoring their precious love. She retained a quiet courage throughout her illness and made every day count. She passed into the spiritual world on February 26th, surrounded by family and friends. Songs were sung both here and undoubtedly in heaven. She left just a body, a worthy and sacred instrument, but nothing more. The metaphors of death, grass that withers, a flower that fades, from dust thou art and to dust thou shalt return, these metaphors seem sad and gloomy. But if we look deeper, some wondrous and miraculous truths of the Lord's creative power are revealed. Dust is inert and lifeless, but it is within this inert stuff that a miracle takes place. When the warmth of the sun shines from without and the Lord's life enters from within, pulling together minerals from the earth and carbon from the air, trees, flowers, gardens spring forth. From the dust of the earth, protein, carbohydrate, lipids, minerals, and nutrients, the Lord forms a little baby to be born and then become an angel of heaven. But the term dust in the Word points to something even more special, an even greater miracle. When we are called dust in the Word, this represents the fact that we have no life of our own, so that the Lord's life can infill us. If we had life of our own making, there would be no room for the Lord. And what a muddle we would make of things. But when we receive His life, by accepting Him into our vessel, the Lord creates something truly heavenly. Wellesley was one such vessel. She was a willing recipient, allowing His goodness and wisdom to flow in and through her. She was gentle, kind, loving, with inner strength and wisdom. If you get what it really means to be dust, it's a wondrous miracle. Humbly we say, thank you, Lord, for creating us this way. Because we can receive Him, we can be made beautiful. Because we are dust, we can have life and happiness to eternity in heaven. It is of the divine mercy that He remembers that we are dust. We think now of our dear Wellesley, wife, mother, daughter, Mima, friend. We think on how she was willing to let the Lord into her life with such acceptance. It reminds us of the willingness of Mary, who said, "Let it be to me according to your words." When we rejoice in Wellesley's life, we are rejoicing in gifts from the Lord. And when we are sad, we are appreciating just how precious those gifts are to us of life, of love that the Lord gave her. As we march forth today into the world, we see a Wellesley kind of place, a place where the Lord can be received, a place where the Lord is reflected in nature, in work, in play, in music and games, in sewing and cooking, and all manner of uses. We are blessed to be a part of Wellesley's life story, a story of the Lord's creative power, his providence, his mercy, and his love. So while we grieve to the depths of our soul, we can turn to the Lord, find solace in his teachings of heaven, and confidence that he will provide for us. He will heal our sad hearts. He will bring us again to our loved ones in heaven. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our Redeemer and Savior, you are the resurrection and the life. In your sight, all people are living, and with you there is no death. Help us to see in the passing away from this life of one whom we love the operation of your providence. Teach us about her joyous awakening in heaven. Look upon us in our grief and sorrow with your loving and merciful countenance. Reach down and steady us as we stumble. We acknowledge that we do not know what is best for ourselves or for another, but this, Lord, is hard. And we pray for faith and trust in you. Help us to see that you are still with us, opening up paths to usefulness, happiness, and love. Strengthen us to keep your commandments. Hold us in your merciful, loving care. Guide us in your path, that one day we may be received into heaven and dwell in your kingdom, where there is no death, no fear, a kingdom of love and peace. We abide in you, O Lord, our hope and our strength. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
city of the blessed, O heavenly land of promise, the weary pilgrims rest. Say through the thorny journey, set free from strife of sin, within the walls of jasper, the pearly gates within. What peace beyond all telling, what joy for them who see, stand by the crystal river and walk the golden street. With bows upon like this, kings and priests to God.